This is Sean with Voices of White River. I'm here with Mike Boone, one of the legends on the river. How you doing, Mike?
Great. Sean, thanks for asking.
So we're here at your home, which is also a bed and breakfast, and it's on the west side of the river. Is that right?
That's correct.
And you got this thing 41 years ago?
Correct.
Okay, so let's take it all the way back to the beginning. Where were you born and what was the date?
August 11th, 1940. I was born in Methodist Hospital. I've been in Indianapolis all my life.
Okay, and what were your parents' names?
Bob and Lois.
And do you have any siblings?
Yes. One brother who's deceased and one sister who's in Arizona.
Okay. And then your father's parents, what were their names and what do you know about their occupations?
Omer and Beulah. And Omer was a carpenter, and his wife had a boarding house at 13th and Alabama.
Okay.
Which used to be a Vonnegut house.
And then your mother's parents, what names and occupation?
Morris was my mom's dad, and he was a pastor for many years. And his wife's name was Minnie Pearl.
Okay.
So anyway.
All right, then what did your father and your mother do? What were their occupations?
My dad was in the automobile business for many years, sold Cadillacs for 30-some years, as I did.
Which dealership?
He was with, back in the day, Hoosier Cadillac, and then became Tutwiler Cadillac. Tutwiler. And I worked at Lockhart Cadillac for many years.
Right on Keystone and 56?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, and your mother?
My mom was a housewife, and later on she went back to work and worked at L.S. Ayers and several other places.
Okay. So grade school, high school?
I went to John Strange all 8 years. I went to Short Ridge for 2 years and North Central for the last 2 years. And then on to IU.
And what was your area of study at IU?
Marketing and business administration.
So what did you do in college that helped you go on that road? Like what type of things did you do to intern or prep or jobs? Did you do anything in college, or was it after college when you kind of got in?
Well, I was already thought that I wanted to follow my dad into the automobile business because I loved cars. And so that's what I was thinking. So I thought marketing would be a good area to be in, and that's what I did.
So did you go right into automobiles after college, or where else did you work maybe before that?
I went right into car sales.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was all Cadillacs?
No, not originally.
Okay.
It was Butler, Toyota, Bob Butler, and a fellow named Woody Neal were partners. And I worked for them for 3 years. And I worked for Tom O'Brien Chrysler for 13 years. Then I went to Cadillac for 33 years.
Gotcha. All right, so as you started that career, and you were in your 20s, where were you living? Like, what side of town?
I lived at 6700 on Hillside. It was my first house where my kids were born, two kids. And
your wife's name?
My wife's name is Lynn.
Okay.
Now, but I was married once before.
Okay. All right. So as you started your career, when was the first time you got connected to the White River Yacht Club?
Through my dad, who joined in 1952. And I joined in 1963.
And how old were you at that point?
When I joined, I was 23.
23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So describe the building that you remember when you joined.
It was more or less the old house that had been on what they called Smith's Island in those days, because the river, and when it came up a little, it would run behind, I'll show you, it runs behind the now club, but there was a big house there, and then we added the meeting room in 1958. But otherwise, it was just an old house. And back in the 20s and 30s, my understanding was you didn't come on Smith's Island unless they knew you or they'd shoot you.
So that's how the club, quote unquote, began.
The club bought the property from the survivors of that family in 1947.
So who were the club? Who were the guys?
Well, they had a loose-knit club down at Broad Ripple where there was a big canoe rental and boat docks. and they just decided to make a little club there. They didn't have a clubhouse or anything. But when this property came available in 1947, they bought it. This group of people went together and bought it. And it was pretty rough, but it's really come a long, long way.
So when it first formed as a club, what were kind of some of the rules of letting people in? And was it just straight referral? And what's kind of the first structure of how the club was run?
Well, first of all, it was voters that got together and made their own rules. They had a rule book, and you had to apply for membership. You had to be recommended by two people. You still do. And it's prospered from humble beginnings. In fact, when I joined in 1963, everybody had left because Geist and Morse Reservoir had been built. So everybody left the river, and the property values went down, and the membership went down. There was only 25 members when I joined.
Wow.
There's now 600.
Wow.
So it's come a long, long way.
So that core 25, what year was that, you said? Or what?
1963.
So from 63 to 70, it was probably pretty desolate, I would assume, comparison to obviously now and whatnot.
It took time, a lot of time to build it up and get the monies together and so on.
All right, so when you were originally 23 and you became a member, what's a guesstimate of how many houses were on the river then to compare to now?
Most of the houses were already built.
Okay.
In those days. A lot of them were old. Like the house I live in was already pretty old.
Right.
It was built in 29, so that gives you an idea. But most of the houses, now there's been a lot of them that were cottages that have been, there's probably 10 or 15 that have been torn down and bigger houses built. Mm-hmm. And that's happening right now.
So what are some of the positions over the year that you've held with the club?
No. Well, I was a board member for 7 years, mm-hmm, in the 70s. And I also was a rear commodore and vice commodore. But when they wanted me to be commodore, I was working 60 hours a week, couldn't do it, and I had two little kids, so I wasn't going to do it. Too much work. It's a big job,
right.
Tough job. No pay involved either.
Right.
So anyway, I've been a member all these years now.
And all right. Well, so from some of the positions, and you've seen a lot of changes, like what were some of the, from 63 up into the 70s, what were some growth things that happened with the club that were good benchmarks that helped the growth? It's people coming in,
yeah,
with new ideas, new programs, or
right,
if it's physical things with the building or things that happened on the river, what are some of the reasons that it grew?
I'll try to give you a quick, in a nutshell, because there's been a lot that's happened as far as advancements. You know, we've got 11 and a half acres there, mm-hmm, and we've cut down trees. We've filled in the creek that ran behind it, made it into an island. They filled it. We filled that all in and made a new entrance there. And, oh gosh, we've added on a big bar, and meeting room was added in 58, and then later came the bar room, and then the big outside pavilion, and we've just built on, added to, and it's really done nice. It's all been volunteers. Now we have had to let some work be done by outsiders, but a lot of the work was done, an awful lot of the work was done by all us members.
All right, so what type of involvement in the community has the club been involved with over the years to make the community better?
Our most recent thing we've done to raise money was for the charity of Riley Hospital for Children. And we've done it now for 3 years, and we've raised a lot of money through doing boat show, car show things, and other events.
Okay. How much did you raise this year for the boat show, car show?
Well, it's not totaled completely yet, but it's roughly $21,000 plus.
Wow. That's from donations or entries?
Donations and entries.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. And then you'd mentioned a foundation.
Yacht Club has a foundation which is run by a fellow that runs a foundation for his family, so he knows what to do. But he's loaned us money from the foundation to do projects around the club to improve the club.
Gotcha.
And it's worked out well.
And you also mentioned that you try to help individuals when kind of things go bad in their life.
Right. We have several. Quite a few, really.
What's a couple examples?
Well, the one that I remember most, because I was heavily involved, was a young man dove off the back of his dad's boat and broke his neck, shallow water. And we helped him for about 10 years. We got money together for him to have a van, and we helped the family. And we auctioned off a car, and we got money for him. And then after he passed, but we gave him an additional 10 years or so that he probably wouldn't have had.
And would you say that usually at least once or twice a year there's some family or some individuals that you guys end up helping?
Probably.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And if you're going to kind of describe the dynamic of the members of the club, how would you kind of describe that?
As our membership is, it's a lot of people across the board, from doctors, lawyers, plumbers, daily workers. It's just a real mix of people. And they all seem to get along. Everybody's just looking to have a good time and be involved in something. And so it's worked out real well.
That's great. So we're going to close this segment out and open up a couple other segments. But that was a really nice overview and intro to how you got connected and whatnot. And I know from just speaking with the people I've already spoken with, that they look at you as, you know, kind of like the godfather of the spikes.
Well,
he's been there
because I've been
the longest.
Since Hitler was a cadet. Not quite, but...
Right. All right, so listen, we're going to close this one out. I'm going to start another.